Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the H2O Innovation conference call announcing its second quarter 2019 financial results. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, bienvenue à l'appel conférence de H2O Innovation annonçant les résultats financiers du deuxième trimestre de 2019. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. Cet appel se déroulera en anglais, mais n'hésitez pas à poser vos questions en français. Before turning the meeting over to management, please be advised that this conference call will contain statements that could be forward-looking and subject to a number of risks and uncertainties and could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, February 13, 2019, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I would now like to turn the conference over to your hosts, Monsieur Marc Blanchet and Frédéric Ducret. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Marc Blanchet. I'm CFO of H2 Innovation. This call will be held in English, but I'll just say a brief word in French for our French audience. Merci, bonjour à tous. Dans un premier temps, j'aimerais vous remercier d'assister à cet appel et vous aviser que même si l'appel se tiendra en anglais, nous répondrons aux questions qui seront posées en français dans la seconde partie de l'appel. Pour faciliter le suivi de l'appel, je vous invite à télécharger la présentation sur notre site Internet, h2oinnovation.com, dans la section Investisseurs. Before we begin, I invite you to download a copy of today's presentation, which can be found on our website at h2oinnovation.com in the section Investors. Frédéric Ducret, President and CEO of H2O Innovation, is joining me today for the call, which duration is approximately 30 minutes. I will be presenting the Q2 financial results, and Frédéric will then present an update on the business. Please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on page 2 of the presentation. And I will refer you to slide 4, financial highlights. So for the second quarter of this fiscal year 2019, we recorded revenues of $29.4 million. It's an increase of 13.8% compared to the same quarter last year. This increase is fueled by the acquisition of Haze, as well as the organic growth coming from the two business pillars, project aftermarket and operation and maintenance. So the project and aftermarket revenue went from $9.7 million last year to $11.9 this quarter. The backlog of the project is still very high at 52.5% and well-diversified with more industrial and wastewater projects, which should improve the gross profit margin profile of the business. Revenue from the specialty product stood at 5.9 compared to 7.5 last year. This decrease in revenue for this business pillar is timing a significant order related to Piedmont, which were delayed by one of our customers. It is also impacted by a general slowdown in the maple industry due to bad weather conditions during last year's season, which led to a reduction of investment in new equipment. Revenue from operation and maintenance increased by 35% to reach $11.6 million compared to $8.6 million last year. From this $3 million revenue increase, $1.5 million comes from the acquisition of Haze, which was the date of acquisition was effective December 1st, so $1.5 million for the December month. There's also an organic growth from the O&M business pillar coming from new contract and scope expansion we secured since the acquisition of Utility Partners in July 2016. So for this second quarter, the gross profit margin ratio decreased to 21.3% compared to 24.1% last year. This decrease of the gross profit margin ratio is explained by the business mix. Revenue coming from specialty product business pillar are lower this quarter, impacting negatively the gross profit margin ratio. We expect to see these revenue coming from the specialty products increasing in Q3 and Q4, and therefore see the gross profit margin ratio improving since this business pillar has a higher gross profit margin profile than the other pillars. Also want to highlight the fact that after 6 months, the gross profit margin ratio is pretty much in line with last year. I now refer you to slide 5, SG&A expenses. SG&A on their side remained fairly stable at 4.9 million compared to 4.8 last year. It represents a 16.7% ratio over revenue. compared to 18.8 last year. This decrease of ratio is explained by a stable level of SG&A expenses while growing revenue by 13.8% over the same period. This graph also shows that on a last 12-month basis, on LTM basis, we have maintained a good control on our expenses. As for the second half of the year, we expect to maintain the same level of SG&A. Now I refer you to page 6, adjusted EBITDA. For the 3-month period ended December 31st, the adjusted EBITDA stood at $1.4 million, which was fairly stable to the comparable period last year. For the combined 6 months of this fiscal year, adjusted EBITDA increased by 37%, or $700,000, to reach $2.6 million compared to $1.9 last year. Therefore, the adjusted EBITDA ratio is now reaching 4.9% for the first half of this year, compared to 4% for the same period last year. If we now move to slide 7 and we look at the adjusted EBITDA evolution over the last 8 quarters, we can observe that the adjusted EBITDA on an LTM basis has improved by more than 100% compared to the previous LTM period. On an LTM basis, as of December 31st, 2018, the adjusted EBITDA stood at $4.8 million, or 4.6%, compared to $2.3 million the previous LTM basis, or 2.5%. So our EBITDA basically is going on the right direction, is improving significantly. I repeat, from 2.5% last year to 4.6% this year. The significant improvement in our adjusted EBITDA performance can be explained by two main reasons. First, an increase of our gross profit margin, notably supported by a diversified project backlog, so more industrial, more wastewater jobs, and also new products that were launched in the specialty product business pillar. The second reason is that we have been able to maintain a very good control on our SG&A expenses and therefore leverage our sales organization. We expect to continue to improve the ratio of adjusted EBITDA over revenue in the second half of the year, as revenue coming from specialty products are expected to increase in Q3 and Q4. I said it before, the objective for this year is to reach an EBITDA ratio of 6%, and we believe we're in a good line to do so. So now, slide 8, net earnings. So we provide you an adjusted net earnings. So the objective here is to highlight some of the non-recurring and non-cash items that are accounted in the net loss. The net loss for this quarter amounted to $1.2 million compared to $1.3 last year. Once we adjust the non-recurring and non-cash items, the net loss would be at $400,000 compared to an adjusted net loss of $800,000 last year. In the calculation of the net loss, the following non-recurring and non-cash items, which amount to $875,000, are acquisition-related costs for $300,000, amortization and intangible assets for acquisition, which is $500,000, and stock-based compensation. So once we adjust those non-recurring and non-cash items, the adjusted net loss for the first 6 months period stands at $135,000 compared to $900,000 for the same period last year. So again, this is also a significant improvement. In terms of financial position, page 9, there's also a very significant improvement on our balance sheet. So the inventory, the receivables increased by $2.6 million to 20%, compared with 17.8 last year, on June 30. So this increase is mostly coming from increase in revenue in the O&M business pillar, also invoicing milestones that were reached for significant water project just before the end of the quarter. Inventory also increased by $1.2 million compared to June 30, so it now stands at $8.2 million. This increase is due to sales increase in the specialty product business pillar, and also the seasonal effect of the maple business line. So we're now building up inventory for the maple syrup that is just about to begin over the next few weeks. So the inventory increase also was impacted by a delay in the delivery of the product for specialty products of Piedmont that I explained a bit earlier. So we had that inventory on hand and was able to be shipped, start to be shipped in January. So we expect to see the inventory level reduce by from now till June 30. Payable increased by 3.2 million. This increase is mainly due to timing of project for the period, and we had to do some significant purchase order, which increased the account payables. So overall, the net debt has decreased significantly by 6.6 million. So now stands at just below 11 million, compared to 17.5 on June 30. So this decrease mainly due from the recent transaction we did. So we did a change of bank. We negotiated our credit new credit facilities with a new lender, and we did a financing related to the acquisition of Hayes. And raised some extra money also to reduce our net debt. And we paid off net debt for the amount of 1.2 million over the quarter. We expect to see the net debt continue to be reduced in the next few quarters as we start selling first the maple inventory and as we start reducing our receivables while we continue to reduce our long-term debt. Cash flow situation has also improved significantly compared to last year, so I refer you to slide 10. The top graph shows the cash flow situation from Q2 last year to Q2 this year, and the bottom graph is the cash flow situation on a six-month period. So I want to especially highlight the six-month period. So last year we recorded a negative cash flow or use of cash of 2.4 million, while this year we generated 2.8 million of free cash flow. So this is a significant switch in our cash flow situation. This concludes my remarks on the financial section, and I'll now hand over the call to Frederick for the business update.
Good, thank you, Mark. Now, as you can see on slide number 12, we remain committed in growing the company both organically and through acquisitions, while also making sure to improve our EBITDA and cash flow generated. Indeed, the revenues of the second quarter are boosted by our project business and our growing activity in the O&M pillar. This growing trend is also reflected on an LTM basis, where we are showing a 12.2% growth. Our business model continues to gain predictability as our revenues, recurrent by nature, continue to maintain above the 70% mark. As we are growing, we are also capturing more sales synergies between the various business lines, and we are encouraging long-term client retention. This is key and fundamental to our business model. On the slide number 13, we are showing some projects and clients where we have been able to take advantage of our unique business model. More and more, we are seeing a number of projects secured using our O&M expertise or using our specialty products. Today, it's not an exception anymore to see our customers taking advantage of our integrated offering. By doing so, we become more accountable to our customers, we facilitate the project execution, we ensure the proper maintenance of the asset, and we encourage the long-term relationship. This trend is becoming more and more popular in the industry in general, as we are starting to see more design-build-operate projects taking place. Compared to most of our competitors, we are strategically positioned to capture these DBO projects. I believe it's worth to mention that we have integrated the O&M to our business model only since July 2016, following the acquisition of Utility Partner. Now let's look at the progress done on each of our business pillars, starting with the project and aftermarket at slide number 14. The efforts spent in the last quarters to push for diversification are starting to really pay off. As you can see, we have been able to secure more industrial projects and maintain a significant portion of our backlog with wastewater projects. This healthy diversification will continue to have a positive impact on the gross profit generated by this business pillar in the coming quarters. As we are growing our revenues on a quarterly basis and over the LTM basis, we are maintaining our project backlog to a high level of $52.5 million. This large and diversified backlog is providing us excellent visibility on the revenue recognition for the coming quarters. Moreover, the execution of the project continues to fuel opportunities to the aftermarket team, providing services and specialty products required on a day-to-day operation of a water and wastewater plant. Moving to slide number 15 on specialty products. Due to a delayed delivery of a large Piedmont coupling order, combined to a slowdown in the overall maple industry, our second quarter was partially impacted by the lower revenues than anticipated. However, this large order was partially delivered in January 2019 and will impact positively the third quarter. Also, the maple is now entering its busy period, as explained Mark, and will now also impact favorably the third quarter. Many good initiatives are starting to pay off as well. PWT and Piedmont signed distributors in new geographies, allowing us to capture initial stocking orders. On top of growing its sales with the addition of 19 new projects totaling $3.3 million, Piedmont has been able to obtain an NSF certification for its filter housing product line and is still working on the development of new products. This NSF certification would enable Piedmont to capture more opportunities, notably in North America, and create an even more synergies with our project division. On the slide number 16, we can appreciate our revenues and O&M backlog have evolved on the second quarter and over an LTM basis. For this second quarter, for fiscal year 2019, O&M recurring have increased by 35%. 50% of this growth comes from the scope expansion and CPI adjustments on existing O&M contracts. The other 50% comes from the acquisition of ACE completed on December 1st, 2018. Regarding the new acquisition, the integration plan is moving along on time and on budget. Within the first 2 weeks following the announcement of the acquisition, our management team met with all customers and explained the rationale behind this transaction. Overall, it was very well perceived by customers, as this acquisition will ensure continuity in A's operation and expand the service offered. Moreover, we have identified a few cost synergies that we will capture in the coming months. We have already captured the first sales synergies between A's and one existing customer in Texas. This will translate into additional revenues of approximately $500,000 to $700,000 per year. Finally, our O&M backlog is strong at $95 million, representing a 48% growth compared to our previous year. This growth is due to the renewals of multi-year O&M contracts and scope of work additions. Moving to the revenue trend on slide number 17, we see how revenues are evolving from one quarter to the other one for each business pillar. As anticipated, we are clearly observing a sustained increase in our project and aftermarket division, essentially coming from the large project backlog that we have been carrying in the last year. As for the specialty products, we usually observe a sharp revenue increase in the second and third quarter, as circled in yellow on the slide. For reasons previously mentioned, this increase should be even more significant now on the third quarter this year. Finally, our O&M business continue its positive growth, punctuated by the acquisition of A's on the second quarter of 2019 fiscal year. Let's move to page 18, showing the key highlights of this second quarter. Our revenues continue to grow at 13.8%, partially boosted by the acquisition of A's. Our diversified and strong consolidated backlog of $148 million coming from the projects and O&M contracts is providing us excellent visibility for the coming quarters. The project backlog is very healthy, as we have a greater number of industrial and wastewater projects providing higher gross profit contribution. With growing revenues from O&M, specialty products, and aftermarket services, we now have 70.8% of our revenues that are recurring by nature. The synergies among our various business lines are captured more and more. Our offering is becoming well integrated and adopted by many new and existing customers. Even though the second quarter was impacted by a slowdown in our maple sales and to a postponement of coupling deliveries pushed to the next quarter, our specialty product line remained very strong. Indeed, we have been able to add new distributors that already placed stocking orders, generated additional recurrent revenues. Also, we have secured 19 new orders combining couplings and filter housing, adding $3.3 million of new bookings that will be delivered in the coming quarters. Finally, our third business pillar, DO&M, was busy with the acquisition of A's on December 1st, 2018. This new acquisition is providing the group with a strong business platform in Texas that we intend to grow further. Synergies are already being captured, and new revenue opportunities are created. Altogether, I feel positive about our business in general and extremely encouraged and uplifted by observing a great number of synergies and cross-sales taking place every day in our organization. This will certainly translate into continuous profit improvement and, most importantly, a better customer experience, ensuring long-term relationships. This now completes the management presentation. I will now turn it back to the operator for the Q&A period.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Your first question comes from the line of Pardeep Sangha from Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Pardeep.
Hello, Pardeep.
Hey, so if I can just get some more clarity on the Piedmont delays and the maple business, the overall sort of specialty products. What I'm understanding is that the delays are now, those customers are not shipping, and the maple, you're shipping some more inventory there as well. So in the past, you've seen sort of $7.5 to $7.8 million revenue in sort of Q2, Q3. So, what kind of bounce back are we expecting in Q3? Can it exceed like the 7.5, 7.8? Kind of exceed that, or in that range that we had before?
Yeah. So two answers to your questions. First, just to add clarity on this specific event, we're talking about in particularly one specific order of Piedmont that was pushed to the following quarter. And again, unfortunately, we don't have any control on the exact moment where the customer are going to pick up these large coupling orders. And we're talking about close to $1 million worth of couplings on one single order. So for reasons unfortunately out of our control, this order was pushed and the delivery was pushed to January. So this million goes to immediately the third quarter. As far maple, well, maple, we are observing, a general slowdown. So I think, proportionally to what it was in previous year is going to reflect also in the third quarter. I mean, we're not going to see necessarily a catch-up in the maple sales from the second to the third quarter. But, yes, in general, we always see an increase in sales because the timing of it and the period of the maple production is currently happening usually between January and, let's say, the end of March. But there is a general slowdown in the maple. So in terms of target and guidance for the second quarter in terms of top line, between yes seven and eight or within the range that we're anticipating for the combination of Piedmont PWT and a maple.
Okay, and then on the gross margin side, maybe you can give some more color there. There's a lot of sort of, I guess, moving pieces here. You've got the Hayes acquisition, and then you've got some specialty products kind of boosting up again in the next quarter or so, which is high margin. And then you've got, with additional wastewater and industrial, higher margin. So there's a lot of different moving pieces here that affect the gross margin. So if you just give us a sense of gross margin, I think in the past you've said your target is kind of to get to the 23% range. And now with all these moving pieces, how do you sort of see that?
Yeah, it's still the case, Pardeep. So we're just below 22 for the first 6 months. But for the second half of the year, for reasons explained by Frederic, We expect to see a pickup in the product business. So therefore, in terms of business mix and revenue, with a higher level of revenue coming from product, we should see an improvement of the gross profit margin combined with that business mix coming from project, so more industrial job. So we still, aim at a 23-29 gross profit margin for the 12-month period. So the next two quarters, we hope to reach those 25% gross profit margin.
Okay. And then you mentioned something about some additional revenues coming from the Hayes, $500,000 to $700,000 per year. Can you just give us some color on that? What exactly was that? You had some sales synergies with Hayes and existing customer in Texas, and you were getting additional revenues of $500,000 to $700,000. What exactly is that? Maybe just give us some more color on that.
Sure. Very excited about that. I mean, these are the kind of things that you you always hope for when you acquire a company, and now to see it, obviously currently happening and translate into revenue is good, and this started to happen in January this year. So this essentially is coming from an existing customer of Utility Partner that we already have for now almost a year in Texas. This current customer had some needs beyond the typical operation and maintenance that Utility Partner is currently doing. They had the construction type of work and replacement that needed to be done on their facilities and the utilities. So with the addition of A's, having construction crew, having capabilities, having people in the field capable of doing this work, A's was immediately able to capture these demands coming from the existing customer. So without the addition of A's, UP wouldn't have been able to collect and capture these sales. And now, we're put into contribution the A's team to do so, and will be an ongoing thing for the coming year as well. So that's the nature of the work being done. We anticipate between $500,000 to $700,000 a year.
Okay. And then maybe if you can also talk a little bit about the cost synergies, what are you sort of seeing right now? What sort of is coming together? Like, where are you finding the cost synergies with the Hayes acquisition?
Well, they're mostly related to some admin-related expenses, not to people, but essentially to, for example, a general liability insurance that we're going to combine to our existing portfolio of insurance, because we do have a critical mass. We do have sometimes better rating that we already evaluated. Combination and integration also of different surrounding services related to benefits, for example, the way we're going to manage the payroll, and insurance and all that will result into savings. I mean, not necessarily huge one, but in the range of $50,000 to $100,000 this year, on a yearly basis.
Okay. And just lastly, what's the overall employee number? How many employees do you have overall, including Hayes?
Including Hayes,
70 employees in Hayes, and H2O was 570 or so prior to the acquisition.
650, 700.
So that moves up
close to 700.
Okay. That's it for me. Thanks.
You.
Your next question comes from the line of Jerry Sweeney from Roth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Fred and Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning, Jerry.
I had a question about the margin difference that you're seeing between, we'll say, municipal work and the shift to waste and industrial type work. Maybe not, what your margin is for the specific business lines, because I doubt you want to give that, but maybe how much of a difference you see percentage-wise from those projects to where you're headed.
Well, I mean, if we look on a bundle basis, and if we were to take a picture, let's say, of the backlog, let's say, a year and a half ago on the projects, where we had, let's say, an average gross margin, weighted average gross margin of probably around 13 to 16%. This today, if we were to take the same picture of the project backlog, including industrial and wastewater, we'll be ranging above, you know, the 15% threshold, you know, like the 15 to 20% average. So we have been able with this on, only on the project group by adding more industrial and wastewater to probably gain, I would say, 3 to 5% points on the gross margin on this pillar.
You know, when we look at the backlog, a potable water job are in the area of 10 to 15, and an industrial wastewater job, which is at the other side of the scale, is, you know, can be up to 25 to 30%. So, you know, everything in between is what we have. So from lower jobs, which are more commoditized, such as water jobs, than industrial jobs.
Just because when I was looking at the even the margins, even though they came down, I mean, obviously you had the Hayes business coming in and that dampened margins. But if you just apply sort of the margins you had last year to some of the business lines this year, I mean, there was still a nice improvement in overall margins, excluding the Hayes business. Is that, did I sort of slice those numbers correctly?
There is an improvement, and this adds to some extent, I will say, to my frustration of not being able to capture this specific delivery of Piedmont and having, you know, the right figures for the second quarter on the specialty products, because otherwise it will have been, you know, a great quarter with a lot more EBITDA and better margin. Now, obviously it's not lost, it's just pushed in time, just pushed to the third quarter. So I still feel extremely good about the business where we are and how we're moving and improving things.
Got it. And you said that actual order has been delivered, so it's a done deal.
Partially in January.
Partially.
It should be completed over this quarter. The whole delivery. It's a huge delivery.
Okay, got it. So it's all in place and it's moving along fine. So.
Yes.
You know, this is just a very high-level question, and it's just, I know you talked a little bit about the chemicals and you're bringing some of the cleaners in-house, and chemicals is a great business. You're building out their distribution. Is there opportunity maybe to either purchase additional chemicals, develop some others? I'm just curious on those thoughts because it popped into my head when I was reading the transcript or your press release there.
Yeah, we would love to. I mean, this is obviously in the areas of interest. I mean, for future acquisitions, we do have things in mind, you know, for the specialty products and for the O&M. Now we completed the transaction on the O&M, but yes, Jerry, we have been on the look for new chemical companies, and we're still on the look or other specialty products that we could bolt on, you know, to our offering that will fit well into the Piedmont offering. You know, we're growing a large distribution network, and as you know, when you have a distribution network, I mean, the cost of maintaining it and the strategy to leverage it is to add more product. So either coming from internal growth or acquisition. So,
obviously,
the more we have specialty products, the more it drives, you know, this gross margin up and EBITDA up, which is our game plan.
Got it. Yep. Very good. That's it from my end. A lot of my other questions have been asked, but thanks a lot. And you know, still, I think it was a pretty nice quarter overall. So, congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
If there are any additional questions at this time, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Gabriel Leung from Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. Morning. A couple of things. First, I just want to clarify a couple of points that you've made so far. So in terms of the specialty line, are you saying that for fiscal Q3 we should anticipate revenues anywhere between sort of $7 to $8 million for the quarter, depending on how things play out?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay. Okay, perfect. And then, Mark, I think in your preamble you mentioned you're still targeting EBITDA margins of about 6% for the current fiscal year. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So obviously that's predicated on a pickup in top line in the second half, and also, I guess, your operating cost structure to remain flattish for the next couple of quarters. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's the idea.
Okay. Okay, perfect. All right, moving over to the business, Fred, maybe you can talk about what's happening in terms of the projects and aftermarket in terms of what you're seeing in the pipeline number one? And number two, in terms of the backlog, are you seeing any of the delays that you would have experienced maybe last year, or are things moving along nicely now?
No, let's start first with the project backlog. No, fortunately, and I touch wood, we don't have any delay that we have been informed on projects. So this is finally, everything is moving along in the right direction. So this is very encouraging. And we have large projects, you know, that will be kicking in the third and fourth quarter. So this is very good. We are also able to replenish this backlog with also great projects, projects again with higher margins than what, you know, it was in the past, with a better combination of industrial and wastewater as well. So it seems that, you know, these projects that were at low margins are now behind us, where we had, you know, execution. So this is helping us, you know, moving forward and giving us good visibility for the coming quarter. In terms of pipeline, we do have a good pipeline of multiple projects that we're working on. In this pipeline, we see more and more design, build, and operate opportunities that we're working on and try to secure. So really, it's really nice to see the business model coming together and taking advantage of all the different tools, if I can say, and offering we have inside the company. So altogether, when you're able to combine these design, build, operate, obviously you're able to bring all together your expertise and also improve the margin profile of your given job.
Gotcha. And then moving over to O&M, over the near to midterm, where do you see the greatest growth opportunities? Is it going to be with greenfield projects, or is it going to be, as you mentioned during your preamble, sort of cross-selling into, you know, either UP or Hayes? You know, where do you see the bigger opportunity for you guys to grow over the near term?
Well, the short term that we see, I think, you know, right now, which will start to kick in currently this year, is O&M opportunities coming from the project group. So we're going to operate projects delivered by H2O, and we're starting to see a trend within H2O of similar opportunities. So obviously, short-term revenues coming from the projects that we deliver is one, I would say, one revenue line or opportunity line that we see. Greenfield, yes, there are some. We want to be careful on where we bid and how we do it. But again, in Texas, and I'm coming back to this, we're seeing tremendous growth. Our new customer that we have, the existing customer we have in Texas is growing, and we're growing with them. A's is providing us now an opportunity to further grow within Texas. So I think organically, we'll be doing and focusing around Texas first and around, you know, the projects that H2O are currently delivering.
I got you. One last thing maybe on the M&A side. You're obviously still digesting Hayes, but what is your appetite in terms of other potential M&A targets over the coming, let's call it calendar year? Do you guys have the bandwidth to be able to close maybe another smaller type of acquisition, or do you think it's going to be sort of a 12-month process before you can move on to the next one? And that's it for me. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think we do have a pipeline. We do have visibility on a few smaller and bigger targets. If we're able to bolt on these acquisitions, it's not if, but when exactly we'll do it. I think we can do it, you know, within the next 12 months because we have good control on the integration process. Now we have gained experience as well from the previous acquisition we completed with Utility Partner. It was well integrated. Our team, existing team of O&M and our vice president of O&M is engaged into that process. So we're very well equipped to bolt on a smaller deal, but obviously, if I was able to have a better currency, it will be better on in terms of stock price and valuation, and this will be coming from results that we're going to improve. And obviously, for us, really to move the needle will be to try to hit it with a large acquisition. So, and we have that in mind too. So, I think it's a combination of first executing our business plan, showing results to our existing shareholders, try to move the stock and create momentum on it. And then, you know, bolt on and roll with other ones.
That's great. Thank you very much for the feedback.
Thank you, Gabriel.
There are no further questions at this time. Gentlemen, I turn the call back over to you for closing remarks.
Thank you very much for your time, and stay tuned for further news, and we'll get together again on the third quarter results. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Ceci met fin notre appel conférence. Aujourd'hui, vous pouvez maintenant raccrocher.